and still felt God stirring me this direction. I prayed tonight before service. I felt God stir me again. Y'all had your chance to shout me down tonight. I didn't expect to even get the pulpit. I didn't think I was going to get here. But seeing that you didn't shout me down, and our pastor gave me the pulpit tonight, the only thing I know to do is preach to you. Several scriptures I'd like to read to you tonight. I hope you will tolerate my reading. Genesis 25, the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. If you have your Bibles tonight, while you're turning, let me say, honored to be here, privileged, so thankful for this opportunity. Thankful to be in service with you. Count it a great privilege and honor to be behind this sacred desk tonight. Appreciate Brother and Sister Tolliver, your pastor. Love them dearly. Brother Tolliver is more than just a pastor. He is my friend, and I love him. Appreciate him. A guide, a mentor, someone I look up to, honor. Love him tonight. Thank you, Brother Tolliver, for allowing me to be here this evening. So thankful to see all of my friends here at Bethany. Folks, I don't mean to seem melancholy here tonight. I'm just stirred. It's not that I don't have something to say. I'm stirred here tonight. I want God to help us. As I was praying this evening before service, I was in Brother Tolliver's office. I was back there praying. I was talking to God, and I said, God, I'm asking you to deliver someone tonight. And Brother Tolliver, I no sooner got it off my lips. I said, God, I'm asking you to deliver someone tonight. And I felt the Spirit of God speak into my heart. And he said, I will if they'll come. He spoke to me and he said, if they will come, I am willing. So I want to tell you here tonight, before I ever preach to you, before I ever read you a text or give you a title, I want to tell you here tonight, if God deals with you, my friend, I believe God wants to help us even more tonight. There are some we have rejoiced. There are some that is shouted. There are some that we have lifted and raised our hands. We have worshiped. And I love it. I do. But there are some here tonight that have not. There are some here tonight that cannot. Because of the condition that you are in, the position that you're in right now. There are maybe some that have shouted. Maybe you should not have shouted. Maybe you're really not in the condition to shout. Nonetheless, tonight, I believe God wants to help us. Are you going to help me preach for a little while here this evening? I want to talk to you for a while. The book of Genesis 25, begin reading in verse 20. Several scriptures I'm going to read to you, but I believe it's very pertinent to the message I feel like God has laid on my heart. Genesis 25, begin reading in verse 20. If you have it, say amen. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Listen closely, please. And the children struggled together within her. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Why? Why the struggle? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, listen, two nations are in thy womb. One womb, two nations. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Two manner of people in one womb. One womb, two people. And the people shall be stronger, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. You've got one greater and one lesser, one stronger and one weaker. And the elder shall serve the younger. One will be a master and one will be a servant. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, one womb, two people. And the first came out like a hair out red, all over like an hairy garment. and called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Genesis 27 and verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory. Did you catch that? She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. It's a dangerous thing when you drag God into your deception. Oh, God. Oh, you're living in a life of deception and want to claim God in the middle of it. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Even Isaac was questioning. And Jacob went near unto his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, he asked him again, Art thou my very son Esau? He gave him another opportunity to come clean. And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Art thou my very son Esau? He said, I am. Genesis 32:27. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Could we pray tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus? God, I'm doing my best here tonight to follow you. God, to obey your voice and your direction. Holy Ghost, I ask you to have your way here tonight. Spirit of the living God, anoint me to preach your word. Speak to your people. Convict our hearts. Draw us into this altar. Deliver tonight by your mighty power. God, let us surrender tonight, oh God, that we may leave here saying, Surely we have been in the presence of Almighty God. Change us here tonight. Change us here tonight. Never the same again. I bind every hindrance and distraction. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And the church said, Amen. I read to you tonight that Jacob went out and got a goat skin. He went and covered his arms and his neck with the skin of a goat. in an attempt to obscure his true identity. In an attempt to cover up who he really was. It was not who he really was, but rather it was just who he pretended to be. It was who he presented himself to be. He perceived or he presented himself as one thing, knowing that he really was not what he presented and pretended himself to be. His identity was obscured. There was deception. There was evil in the background of the actions of Jacob. And tonight he used that skin of a goat in a manner and a way in which many of us here in the church use obscurities in our lives. He used the skin of a goat as a makeup and a mask to cover up who he was. He used a mask, and behind the mask was evil. Behind the mask was deception. Behind the mask was the working of the devil. Yet in front, as his father heard, and as those around him might have perceived him to be one thing, it was evil that was lurking behind the mask. Tonight I want to preach to you. 2.5-3 weeks ago, I was laying in the bed in Houston, Texas at 4 o'clock or so in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and the Lord spoke to me and said, there is a monster behind the mask. I want to preach to you tonight the monster behind the mask. Now I read to you in Genesis 32. I'm going to take it slow here tonight. I want to talk to us for a little while here. I read to you in Genesis 32 that the Lord asked Jacob. He said, what is thy name? He said, Jacob, who are you? The Lord already knew who he was. Omnipotence, omniscience needs not ask any questions. He asked that question not for the benefit of himself, but for the benefit of Jacob. He said, who are you? Not who you claim to be, but who are you? Not who you pretend to be, but who are you really? Not who your church thinks you are, but who are you? Not who your husband or your wife thinks you are, but who are you? Who are you behind the mask? He was saying, Jacob, take the mask off and show me who you are. Who are you when you're alone? I'm going to ask you some questions here tonight that's going to make you dig. Maybe some questions that's going to make you run. Maybe some questions going to cause you to clam up. Maybe some questions you don't want to answer. But who are you tonight? Who are you when you're alone? Who are you when you're in your room or your office by yourself and the lights go out and the doors are closed and latched behind you and you're all alone? Who are you? When you don't have an ego to defend or an image to uphold, who are you? When you don't have a title that is pushing you to present yourself as one thing, who are you? Remove the title. Who are you? Remove the position you may hold. Minus the position. Minus the title. Tell me who you really are. God of heaven. Regardless of what church you've preached in or where you fellowship, regardless of what your last name is, who are you? Who are you when the person that people think you are can take off the mask and the generic imitation of you is laid on the nightstand and you face the real you in the mirror? When you walk in your bedroom tonight and you latch the door behind you, if you're like me, I reach in my pocket when I get home, I pull out my wallet, my keys and my cell phone. My mama hates it. And I put it on the counter. Often there's three items, but quite often in many of our lives there's four. Because we take our keys, our cell phone, and our wallet, and our mask, and we lay it on the counter. We go to bed without it, but the next morning, before we walk out the door, we pick up our phone, our keys, our wallet, and our mask. And we put it back on. Who are you? When the facade of who you are fades into the darkness of the night and you face the man in the mirror, do you like what you see? There are three types of people in every single one of you here tonight, including myself. There is the person that people think you are. There is the person that you portray yourself to be. And then there is the person that God knows you are. Who are you? He said, "What is your name?" He was trying to get Jacob to face the man in the mirror. Are you with me? He was trying to get Jacob to face who he was, because you will never be who you want to be until you're willing to face who you are. I said, you will never be who you want to be until you are willing to face who you are. You'll never be who you want to be if you're not willing to break ties with who you really are. If you're not willing to face the man in the mirror, if you're not willing to face who you are, you'll never be who you want to be until you break ties with who you really are. God help us tonight. Oh God. Often, as a Pentecostal preacher, Brother Tolliver, we preach against sin. If you are a preacher tonight, I would automatically assume you preach against sin. But tonight I did not come to preach to you against or about any specific sin. Tonight, I come to preach to you about something much more detrimental, something much greater, something much more destructive. I didn't come to preach to you against adultery. I didn't come to preach against fornication. I didn't come to preach against alcoholic addiction. Tonight, I come to preach about you. You see, because the real enemy is the enemy in me. The enemy in me is the real enemy here tonight. That is what concerns me. It's not addiction that concerns me. It's not pornography that concerns me. It's not adultery or fornication that concerns me. It is me that concerns me, because it will be him that takes me out. It will be him that is my assassin. It is he that is the hitman from hell sent to destroy me. It is he that is my destroyer. It is the enemy in me that is my arch rival. It is the enemy in me that is my nemesis. It is me that I must worry about. Did you know the worst judgment I believe that God could ever put on a man is to leave man to himself? If God left you to yourself, we would self-destruct, because it is destruction at our very core. It is evil at our very core. It is destruction. It is who we are. To leave man to himself is the greatest judgment I believe God could put on a man. In Psalm 81, he said he gave them up to their own heart's lust. In Proverbs 1, he said they shall eat of the fruit of their own way. In Romans 1, he gave them up to a reprobate mind. He also gave them up to their own sinful desires. My friend, if God took bird or
Burger King's motto and said, have it your way. It is the worst judgment that God could ever put on a man. So the individual I've come to preach to you about is the one sitting on your pew, not to the left or to the right, but I want to know, who are you? The problem is we have not fully assessed the potential within ourselves. We have not fully assessed the ravaging potential within us. You see, you've not fully seen what you would do under the right circumstances. It's going to get quiet in here. You say, now, preacher, you can't preach like this. I'm going to tell you here tonight, I've been through enough in the last, I've seen enough in Pentecost in the last year. Blow your mind. You'd be surprised what you would do under the right circumstances. You'd be surprised at what you might steal. You'd be surprised at what depths you might stoop to. You'd be surprised at who you might sleep with. You say, preacher, what? I can't tell you everything. I wished I could. But it would blow your mind to know if you got in the right position, if you got far enough away from God, what you would do. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you've been raised in church. I don't care if you're a pastor. You get far enough away from God, you don't know what you would do. You'd be surprised. You'd be shocked if what was in you come out under the right circumstances. Ask David. He was a king by day and an adulterer by night. He was daddy by day and murderer by night. He was husband by day and liar by night. Don't tell me you won't do it. What is hiding behind the mask? Oh, God, Brother Daryl, Pentecostals, we are much better actors than what they have in Hollywood. The best actors I've ever seen have come out of a Pentecostal church. All hell can be breaking loose, but we'll put on a mask and pretend like everything is fine. Our marriage is about to fall apart. But we're walking hand in hand on Sunday morning. You're as backslid as a goose egg, but you'll come to church and raise your hand when the preacher says so. My God, the best actors I've ever seen have come from a Pentecostal church. Because we will not face the monster behind the mask. We will not answer the question, who are you? Oh, yes. It blew your mind. See, we condemn others for what we secretly struggle with. We sit around in a corner with a bunch of other people and say, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he fell in pornography. Can you imagine such a thing when it was all you could do to not look at it last night on your computer? But we condemn others for things we secretly struggle with, but we don't want anybody to know there's a monster behind the mask. God, there's a lot of monsters that come to church on Sunday morning. There's a lot of monsters that come to church on Sunday night. There's a lot of monsters that come to church on Wednesday. There's a lot of monsters that preach behind pulpits. Dear God of heaven! Oh, God. It might surprise you to know who some people have lusted after. Are y'all with me? Have I lost it here tonight? I'm just being real transparent. It might shock us tonight to know what some of us would look at. It might shock some of us tonight if we knew what we would try. See, we would never do that, Brother Luke. Even Superman had kryptonite. Oh, but never. We want to look like we've never had a struggle. We want to walk around like we've never had problems. We want to walk around like we've never had a struggle in our life. But my friend, I want to tell you here tonight, the most lethal weapon in Satan's arsenal is you. My God, don't leave us to ourselves. Oh, God. Brother Tolliver, I preached all over this nation, but my prayer is tonight, God, don't leave me to myself. Yes, I've spoken tongues. Yes, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, I was raised in Pentecost. Yes, I preach revival in camp. But my God, don't leave me to myself. There's a monster. One of the most fatal mistakes you can make is try to act like that you don't have any problems, that you've never had a struggle, and that you're invincible. I've seen people that pretended and acted like they were untouchable. I've seen them fall and crumble to depths of sin unimaginable. Because we walk around like we're untouchable. We walk around like because we go to a certain church, because we got a certain standard, because we speak in tongues, that we're untouchable. My friend, the biggest enemy goes home with you every night. Oh God. A killer, a monster, a destroyer sent from hell to destroy me. But the problem is we won't face the real us. We don't want to look in the mirror. We don't want to confront who we are. We don't want to face the man in the mirror. There's men sitting in prison tonight that I have watched and seen and heard preached behind pulpits across this country, and they sit in prison tonight for molesting children. There are preachers that I have preached with and traveled the country with that sat at home tonight probably in a drunken stupor because he fell and he delved into sin. And the last time I saw him, he was drunk on alcohol. Don't tell me what you do. Oh God. Oh, what about Shandai? I got a phone call the other night at 3:00 and 2:30 in the morning. Someone called me and said, "Have you heard about so and so?" I said, "God, no, don't tell me." I had, Brother Darrell, I've had enough calls. I've had enough text messages. I've had enough horror stories. I don't want another one. I said, "God, no, tell me what's wrong?" They said his wife was away on a trip. And it come out that he's been having an affair with his neighbor. I said, "You got to be kidding me." I ain't talking about somebody that I've met once. I'm talking about somebody that I was raised with. Talking about somebody that I went to school with. Talking about somebody that I preached with. Talking about somebody that not more than 3 months ago I sat across the table with him and talked about God and talked about the Bible and talked about preaching. But he was having an affair the entire time. Not only was he having an affair, but he's been hooked on pornography and alcohol for a long time. While he sat in church on Sunday with a suit and tie and sleeping with a neighbor on Friday night, there's a monster behind the mask. Oh, Brother Darrell, it's happening everywhere. It's happening all the time. And if we're going to bury our head, destruction will continue to come. A great falling away will continue. How many will we lose before we wake up? God gave dominion over the animals and the animal kingdom. But isn't it funny that man has no authority or dominion over his own body at times? He can't seem to get authority and dominion over his own mind. He gave us control over an animal kingdom, but there's times we cannot control ourselves. We've got the power and the knowledge to build skyscrapers, but we can't tear down the perverted thoughts in your own mind. We've got power to conquer the world, but no power to conquer ourselves. Oh God, we can conquer everything we put our hands on, but we can't conquer me. I have the authority in my home. I'm the CEO of my own company. I've got money and I call the shots. But the enemy in me gets me every time. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, it says, and the children struggled within her. There were two nations in one womb. There were two manner of people in one womb. There were two personalities in one womb. There were two desires in one womb. And not only was there two desires and two manner of people in the same body, but they warred one with the other. I want to go this way, but he wants to go that way. I want to live for God, but I'm going to have to get control of this and get my suit on because I got to go to church on Sunday. So let's keep him kind of tamed down. But Friday night comes around and all of a sudden, but wait. God, we got to go back to church on Wednesday night. But oh, that was a good service, wasn't it? Hey, nobody knows that we're together, so we can shout a while. Hallelujah. Woo. Huh? Okay. That was Wednesday, but Friday night, Jacob starts calling again. I know I shouted on Sunday, but there's a mask and there's a monster, and I can't seem to get a hold of him. They struggled within her. It literally means to break, to bruise, to crush, and to oppress within her. Isn't it funny that in physically, the struggle within her womb was concealed in the physical, the natural eye. If you looked at Rebecca, you were not able to know, you were not able to see that there was a war raging inside her in the physical. How many of us come to church with a war raging inside us that nobody sees, that nobody knows, that nobody can tell, but there's a war raging inside me. It's pulling me, Brother Tolliver, but you don't know it. It's pulling on me, but he don't know it. The only one that knew it was Rebecca. Everybody thought it was fine. But isn't it amazing the struggles that can rage inside of a person and nobody can see it and nobody can hear it. She could have been sitting at the dinner table with Isaac, and Isaac thought everything was fine. But what he didn't know was across the table there was a war raging. You can go to the mall with your friends and everything seems to be perfectly fine. But what they don't know is there's a war raging inside you. You can sit in church on Wednesday night, everybody raising their hands and worshiping God. But what nobody knows is there is a battle raging in me, one against the other. There's a Jacob that is pulling me one way. There's an Isaac or an Esau that's pulling me the other. And nobody knows the struggle. And nobody knows the war that is raging in my womb. It was so bad that she went to talk to the Lord about it. She said, "This is crazy. This is beyond my understanding. There's some things you can't tell nobody about. Or actually, there's some things you don't want to tell anybody about. There's some things we struggle with that we can't tell our best friend, Brother Owain. This is beyond telling Mama. And this is beyond telling Daddy. This is some very serious stuff." She said, I got to find out what's going on, but there's nowhere to go. There's no one to talk to. I can't tell them what I'm struggling with. I can't tell them what I'm fighting with. If I tell them I'm fighting suicide, they'll think I'm crazy. If they tell them I'm fighting addiction, they'll call me a hypocrite. I can't tell them what I'm fighting with. And the war is raging and it's turning and it's raging and bombs are going off and bullets are flying and I feel like I'm dying inside and there's a struggle and a pull and I don't know what to do about it. At church, clapping your hands. You don't want nobody to know what's been going through your mind. You don't want nobody to know there's a Jacob inside your womb. You don't want nobody to know there's a deceiver in there. Because Jacob covered himself with a goat and with some hair. He deceived his father. You may deceive mama and daddy. You may deceive the preacher. But my friend, God looks beyond the mask. God looks beyond the cover up. God looks beyond the makeup. God looks beyond the shout. God looks beyond the standard. God looks beyond your cover up. And he sees the monster behind the mask. There was a certain pastor that had a certain evangelist come preach for him. That pastor told that evangelist, he said, you preach whatever God puts on your heart. He said, son, they look good, but they're not. I don't know if he should have said that or not, but he did say it. I'm just telling you, there's monsters lurking behind the mask. See, everybody sees Esau, but nobody knows that there's a Jacob. Everybody sees the suit and tie, but nobody knows there's a demon of lust that is driving you. Everybody sees the beautiful dress, but nobody sees the provocative spirit that pushes you in the wee hours of night. Hey, hold on, my handy, wo shanda mahaya. Nobody knows the struggle. Nobody knows the addictions because you've kept Jacob hid so well that daddy didn't even know Jacob was there. Jacob plays along with the conspiracy because Jacob knows just when to come out and play. Jacob knows just when to rear his ugly head. Jacob knows the right time of the night. Jacob knows the right location. Jacob knows the right spot. Jacob knows the right button to push. You can go a month and never encounter Jacob. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, by yourself, there's Jacob. You say, I thought I got rid of him. I thought he left. Now Jacob can lie dormant for a long time. Jacob can camouflage. Jacob can hide. Jacob can cover up. Oh God, some of you young folks, your parents think you're an innocent and pure young lady or young man. What they did not know was when the lights are out and the late hours of the night, Jacob wants to come out and play. You say, why are you preaching this way? Because I'm preaching this by experience. I know what I'm talking about. Ask that man, am I telling the truth, Brother Tolliver? Yes. I wish I didn't have to preach this way. I wish I didn't have to tell you this. I wish I could say that there's no monsters. But my friend, there's monsters. Maybe here tonight. It's dangerous when there's a war raging inside you and nobody knows. That's why people go crazy and snap. They say, we never saw it coming. He just took a gun to school and killed 30 people. We never saw what happened because he was fighting with Jacob all along. Daddy just got up one morning and walked out and left his wife and his baby. Why I never saw it coming? It's because he was fighting with Jacob. That's why teenagers take guns and blow their brains out. That's why you hear about 17-year-old girls, pretty young ladies, cheerleaders, popular in school, valedictorians. They find them dead on a drug overdose. Why? Because she was fighting with Jacob the whole time. She covered it up with a smile. She covered it up with a title. She covered it up with a position. That's why pastors run off with their secretaries. Because the whole time he was preaching last year, he was fighting Jacob. Oh, that's why there's some preachers have got caught at hotels with prostitutes. Why? Because nobody knew they were fighting a Jacob. Nobody knew they were fighting a Jacob. Brother Tolliver, nobody knows. Jacob's trying to kill me, and nobody knows. Jacob is trying to destroy me, and if I don't get help soon, I ain't gonna make it. If I don't find help soon, Jacob's gonna destroy me. He's trying to kill me. He's after me. Oh my God, from the time Esau came out of the womb, Jacob was. He said, if I can just get a hold of him. He said, if I can even just touch his heel. I don't gotta destroy his ministry overnight. Let me just get a hold of his heel. I don't got to destroy his family this year. Let me just get a hold of his heel. I know he ain't going to mess around on his wife this year, but if I can get him looking at pornography this year, I'll have him in adultery next if I can just get a hold of his heel. Oh, God. I know I can't take his ministry this year, but if I keep drawing him out a little further, pulling him on him a little more, a little farther, one more step. Oh, what he don't know is about three more steps and I'll have him. Three more steps and I'll have his family. Three more steps and I'll have his ministry. Three more steps, I'll have his anointing. Three more steps, and Jacob is waiting. People don't see Jacob, they only see Esau. I'm fighting for my life. But I leave Jacob in the car when I go to church. He don't mind waiting because he knows I'll be back. I leave Jacob at home in the closet when I leave, and he don't mind waiting because he knows I'll be back. When my parents are home, I hide Jacob in the closet. When I'm sitting at home, I got to be careful if anybody's there, because sometimes Jacob wants to come out and play, but I got to keep him pushed down. I got to suppress Jacob because there's people around and they may see the real me. They may see the monster. I'm at church and I'm having a hard time staying focused because Jacob is stirring. But when the lights are turned off and church is over and you get in your car, Jacob is there waiting on you. Oh, you all know what I'm talking about here tonight. I said, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You say, I can't believe you're preaching this way after we shouted. You can shout till your shoes fall off, and Jacob can still be waiting on you in the car. You can run the aisles till you burn the carpet, and it ain't gonna budge Jacob. When you get home, Jacob will still be there. Oh, my devil, Shandamaya. Jacob starts calling me. Jacob starts pulling on me. It's the weaker and the stronger. He said, there's two, and there's one weaker and one stronger. One of them loves his wife, but the other one has a lust problem. One of them wants holiness, but the other one wants to quit church. One of them wants purity, but one of them likes pornography. One of them loves people, but the other one has bitterness in their heart. One of them loves mama and what she stands for, but the other one can't stand her. One of them loves what pastor preaches, but the other one goes home and talks about him. It's Jacob. It's the monster. It's the monster behind the mask. Some of you don't even like yourself. That's why people commit suicide. Because they can't live with their self. It ain't that they had problem living with their spouse. They couldn't live with their self. It ain't that I had a problem with the pastor. I just can't live with myself. I can't live with Jacob. Judas betrayed Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus that killed Judas. Judas brought a reproach on all the other disciples, but the disciples were not the ones that killed Judas. Judas killed himself because Judas could not live with what he did. Judas could not live with himself. It wasn't the other disciples he had problems getting along with. It was Judas that he couldn't deal with. It wasn't the Lord that he had problems getting along with. It was who he was when he was by himself that he could not deal with. Oh, I don't know who I'm preaching to here tonight. But Judas was so disgusted with himself over what he had done that he went out and hung himself. Judas could not stand himself. Your daddy's little girl, he loves you and thinks you hung the moon. But what daddy don't know is you don't love yourself. Your mama's little girl, she loves you more than ever. But you can't stand yourself. Your boyfriend and girlfriend loves you. And they long to spend the rest of their life with you. But what they don't know is you don't want to live with yourself. I know you want to live with me. But I don't want to live with myself. Because you ain't there in the middle of the night when I got a fuck. You ain't there in the middle of the night when I got to face Jacob. You aren't there when he starts calling me. You aren't there when he starts pulling on me. You aren't there when I'm alone in my struggle. You aren't there in the darkness of the night. I can't live with my self. Some of you cannot love yourself, and some of you cannot forgive yourself. Been fighting with Jacob, been running from Jacob. Jacob deceived his father, stole the birthright and the blessing, and he ran from Esau for 20 years. Aren't you tired of running under a stolen identity? Aren't you tired of running from Jacob? Aren't you tired of running from who you are? Aren't you tired for pretending to be something you're not? You've been running and living and shouting and going to church and doing it under a stolen identity. Somebody that's not even you. Jacob was running and still running. He was still on the run when he encountered the Lord at the Ford Jabbok. Running for 20 years from who I was. Running from my past for 20 years. Running from my sin. Running from my tomandamahaya. Running from who I was. Wrestling for 20 years. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I ran smack dab into God. Aren't you glad that God will hunt you down even when you're running from Him? I said, even when you're running from Him, aren't you glad He didn't give up? Even when you were on the run, there's a God that kept reaching. Even when you were wrong, there's a God that kept running after you. There's a God after Jacob. Woo! And there he meets the Lord. And he begins to wrestle with God. They're wrestling with God. And God said, what is your name? Well, my name, Brother Tolliver thinks I'm a preacher. I didn't ask you what Brother Tolliver thinks. I said, who are you? Well, Daddy thinks I'm a good... I didn't ask what Daddy thinks. I said, who are you? Well, Mama thinks I'm a good girl. I didn't ask you what Mama thinks. I said, who are you? Well, I preach revivals here and there. I didn't ask where you preached. I said, answer this question. Who are you? Well, my family thinks I'm a good man. The church thinks I'm a saint. I didn't ask what the church thinks. I said, tell me, boy, who are you? Yeah. And he didn't have time to cover it up. He caught him before the cover up. Wait a minute now. Turn me loose, God. Let me get a goat skin. But God said, I ain't letting you go. He said, tell me who you are. Yeah. Hey, God, did you know I'm Abraham's grandson? I didn't ask who your granddaddy was. He said, I ain't letting you go, boy, till you tell me who you are. See, the Lord could not help Jacob until Jacob would admit who he was. And God wrestled with Jacob. And they wrestled all night long. There's a part of me that wants holiness, but there's a part of me that wants the world. God, wait, God. There's a part of me that wants to live for you, but there's a part of me that's struggling with sin. Wait, God. He said, who are you, boy? But God, I can't tell you who I am, because if they hear me and they really know who I am, they're going to think bad of me. They're not going to think I'm as good as they think I am if they really find out who I am. And God wrestled with Jacob all night long. The Bible says he wrestled until he literally broke Jacob down. He halted upon his thigh. He broke him down until his thigh was out of joint. He told Jacob, he said, what is your name? But I want you to notice. Come here, brother. Jacob wrestles with God all night long because he don't want to tell him who he is. But then in the breaking of day, he finally admitted, I am Jacob. But notice what Jacob did. The very one he fought with and the very one he wrestled with, once he admitted who he was, he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. You know why? He said, because I am who you say I am. I have ran for 20 years. I have been hiding my true identity. I do hate who I am. And the truth is, I am Jacob. But my God, don't leave me like you found me. Don't leave me by myself again. Don't leave me to myself. My I've been running for 20 years. Don't leave me with Jacob anymore. Don't let me go, God. God, I can't. I know I fought with you for 20 years, but don't leave me like you found me. I know I've run from you, but I hate who I am. Don't leave me like this. Don't leave me to Jacob. I am Jacob. I am who you said I was. But dear God, don't leave me now. I've ran for 20 years. And I've been with Jacob for 20 years. Don't leave me to Jacob anymore. Oh God, don't leave me like this. I don't want to be Jacob. I don't like who I am. I don't want to be him. Would you help me? Would you change me? Somebody come to the piano, please. Don't leave me like this, God. I know I didn't want to tell you who I was. But that's because I was afraid and I was ashamed. But God, you already knew. And now, God, would you please don't leave me. Oh, God. There's teenagers all over this world that hate who they are. Brother James, I preach youth camps. I've talked to young people. Saw them cry and weep. And said, help me. Please help me. I've had young men come up to me and say, I can't take it no more. You know what they were saying? Don't leave me with Jacob. Don't leave me alone. I've been out here in the dark all night with Jacob. Oh God, I've been out here all night long with Jacob. Please don't leave me like this. And he clung to him. Oh, in Genesis 32. And the Lord said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Sometimes you got to fight until it breaks. I said, sometimes you got to fight until it breaks. Sometimes you got to wrestle until it breaks. Sometimes you ain't going to run out of that thing you're fighting with. There may be an hour you got to crawl your way out. But if you're tired of being Jacob, you said, I'm going to fight until this thing breaks. I'm going to fight until it lets go. I'm going to fight until God changes me. I'm tired of being Jacob. And the Lord said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go. Get ready to sing for us, sis, if you would. He said, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob! I am Jacob! If you can't come to an altar and say, God, I am Jacob! You'll never find deliverance. But he said, I am Jacob. Oh, but God, I love this. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. Are you understanding what I'm telling you? No more Jacob. I'm coming to an altar tonight, and tonight it is no more Jacob. From this day on, it is no more Jacob. My wife's going to have a new husband. From tonight forth, Brother Micah, it is no more Jacob. My children will have a new daddy. Because tonight, my friend, if you got to go home and throw your computer out the trash, then bless God, throw it out and say no more Jacob. You got to pull that smartphone off your hip and throw it in the garbage and break it with a hammer. If that's what you got to do, then pull it out. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast thou prevail. My friend, if you're a prince, that means your daddy is a king. I said, if you're a prince, then your daddy is a king. You see, the devil wanted to kill you before you fully understood who you were. The devil wanted to call you Jacob your whole life. But my daddy is a king. He's the king over perversion. He's the king over sin. He's the king over demons. He's the king over bondage. He's the king over hell. No more Jacob! Mama said, you'll always be Jacob. But God said, no more Jacob. Social culture said, You were raised like Jacob. You'll always be Jacob. But God said no more. I know your daddy left you and your mama walked out on you. Your daddy may be a stereotypical drug addict and your mama may be a stereotypical alcoholic, but that don't mean you gotta be a stereotypical product of your environment. No more Jacob! The devil said I'd always be Jacob. But Satan, my daddy's a king. And the night he said, no more Jacob. It's time for a name change. You are not who they said you were. You thought you would always be this way. But tonight God said, no more Jacob. Your failures and your sin and your past said you would always be Jacob. But tonight, no more Jacob. In the last 60 days, I've heard enough tragic news to discourage anybody on planet Earth. It wasn't that long ago, less than 2 months ago, I got the news that a man that I know personally, a man that is my friend, a man that I have preached with, a man that I have stayed in his house, a man that I have had dinner at his table with, I got a phone call and was informed by someone that they said it is accused of him of being on methamphetamine. I said, no, no. No way. That shocked me enough. But as if that wasn't enough, they looked me in the eye. They said, not only is he on methamphetamine, but he's been an active homosexual for several years. I said, no, don't tell me that. I said, there's no way. I said, there's no way he's a homosexual. I said, there's no way he's a meth addict. They said, I wish I could tell you that it wasn't true. They said, but it is. The Tulliver. He was a man that I've put my arm around him. I said, I love you, brother. He's a man that I've crawled in the altar next to and put my arm around him.
But there's a monster.
And said, oh, come on, brother, it's going to be all right. But I never knew my arm was around a monster. Oh, God.
My Lord.
I never knew when I went with him and we got on our horse and we went and rode horses that he was a monster. I never knew, Brother Tulliver, when we loaded the horses in the trailer and went out to the arena to rope. I never knew. Worse than that, I never knew that when he walked in on Sunday morning in a suit and tie, and he walked up behind the pulpit to preach, I didn't know there was a monster behind the mask. I didn't know that this very year I watched him lead a youth choir. I was there when the power of God fell. I was standing right next to him. was there when he preached his last meeting. I was there when he preached his last camp meeting. And the last message he preached was priorities. He said, get your priorities right with God. But he was a monster behind the mask. He was a homosexual. He was a meth addict. He was, oh God. You say, preacher, why are you telling us this? Because I'm trying to get somebody to deal with Jacob before somebody gets killed. I said, I'm trying to get you to deal with Jacob before somebody's destroyed. Oh God, I'm trying to get you to deal with Jacob before somebody gets hurt beyond repair. I'm trying to get a daddy to deal with Jacob before daddy walks off and leaves his babies. Shandelo Moshia Nerebahaya. I'm trying to get mama to deal with Jacob before mama walks off and leaves her husband. I'm trying to get somebody to deal with Jacob before another child is molested. You say it don't happen in the Pentecostal church. Yes, it does. Brother Daryl, somebody else is going to die if we don't deal with Jacob. Somebody else is going to be destroyed. Daddy, you look at that little family you love. You ask yourself the question, it's your family or it's Jacob? Who are you going to deal with? What are you going to do? A couple weeks ago, I got a phone call about that other preacher had an affair on his wife, drinking alcohol. His wife has already filed for divorce, as far as I know. She said she's leaving. Brother Tolliver, if God doesn't do a miracle, there's several little children in that family who's going to grow up in a broken home. Because there was a preacher that did not deal with Jacob. Brother Tolliver, this week I had a young man, a teenage young boy, sat in my car whose daddy had failed into deep sin, whose daddy was a preacher. And that 17-year-old boy sat in my car with tears in his eyes and said, when I need my daddy the most, he's not there. He said, I looked up to my dad. My dad was my hero. He said, in my eyes, nobody was a better preacher than my daddy. He said, now I need my dad because I started preaching. But he said, I don't even want to preach now because daddy didn't deal with Jacob. You know what he told me, Brother Tolliver? He said, it's hard on me, but he said, I'm worried about my little brothers and my little sisters. He said, because I don't know if they'll make it without daddy. Because daddy didn't deal with Jacob. Would you stand all over the house? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I've done my best. God, you know I didn't want to preach this. Oh, God. But God, I believe with all my heart. You told me in that room if they would come, that you would help them. You said, if they will come, I am willing.
to deliver.
Oh, how about it, Jacob? Don't leave here with Jacob. How about it, friend? Are you going to deal with Jacob tonight? Are you going to let Jacob deal with you? Aren't you tired of running from Jacob? Aren't you tired of leaving Jacob in the car when you come to church? Pray, church, pray. Aren't you tired of leaving Jacob hid in the closet? Daddy, how long are you going to continue to fight Jacob? One day you might wake up and lose everything. Who are you? What is your name? Holy Ghost, speak. Holy Ghost, deal. Shila la moka. Church, he said he would if you'd come. He's waiting on you. There's a Savior at this altar that's waiting to help you. But there's a Jacob in your car that's waiting on you to return. Who are you going to run to? I said, who are you going to run to tonight? Daddy, are you going to run back to Jacob? Mama, are you going to run back to Jacob? I want to give the Holy Ghost time to deal right now. Spirit of God's a dealing with you. Obey God, church. Oh, God. Church, I know I didn't miss it. I can feel God pulling on you right now. Jacob will be your destroyer if you don't deal with him. What are you waiting on? Why are you hot between two opinions? Shande mo kora madala boshi. Ila mo shande da 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 mo shande da da da. Ila la 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 mo shi ande da da.
Oh, God. Oh, Ramakande. Oh, God. Oh, God.
It'll be better for you to remove the goat skin from your neck and your hands than it will be for God to rip the mask off. Because it's scary behind the mask. The Holy Ghost, don't miss it, church. It's never wrong. It's never wrong.
Holy.